The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Spartanburg County's legislative delegation has a new face on it. It looks a little bit different this year. In Senate District 11, Josh Kimbrell won that Senate seat. Glenn Reese had been a Democrat senator in Spartanburg County, I think for a couple of decades. Josh Kimbrell got in. He worked at the grassroots level. You folks in Spartanburg decided to send a conservative to the state capitol. On our guest line for a few minutes this morning, I wanted Senator Kimbrell to join me for a few minutes. Good morning. Welcome. How are you?
Good morning, Joey. Good to be with you. And I'm staying optimistic. To your point about Glenn, he was actually in the Senate for 39 years as a Democrat. 39 years.
My math was off slightly there. 39 years. And you know, that's just a testament, Senator, to you got out there, you worked hard, you knocked on doors, and you proved that we can make changes, good changes.
Well, yeah, and look, Joe, your point there, and I listened to your conversation with Mike Gallagher, who I think the world of too, just like I do of you. And we have to remember, as you just pointed out, at every level, this was all very close. The idea that the country is over, that it's all over, we can't do anything. Not true, and I think that's the message you and I and everybody who's on our side of the fight have to make clear in the days to come. Don't quit. Don't walk away. Don't take your marbles and go home, because if you do, then everything we dread will come true. And reality is, it's not all lost. Even at the federal level, it's not all lost. I mean, I've been in conversations with folks in the Republican caucus and the U.S. Senate in the last few days as well, and there are some votes like Joe Manchin from West Virginia that will cross over. We're not going to have D.C. statehood, and we're not going to have a packed Supreme Court. For all intents and purposes, we have a 50-50 Senate. It's going to be a rough sledding for a couple of years, but it's not over, and we're going to do a lot at the state level to push back.
Yeah. You know, my wife, Peg, and I were talking the other night, Josh, and she brought up something that I had not thought about until then. Wouldn't it be cool if we could convince a Joe Manchin or someone like that to switch parties? I mean, it's not unheard of. We have people switching parties all the time. Wouldn't that be kind of cool if we were able to lure someone who is conservative over to our side? Because there are a few Democrats like him from West Virginia who are a lot more conservative than some people think.
I agree with you, Joey, and I've already said that. But I've been telling some friends in Washington, look, I hope Mitch McConnell's having that conversation. I'm sure that he probably is. And even if Manchin doesn't switch, you've got John Tester from Montana, who is a pretty conservative guy. He's from a state that Trump carried by 70%, and he's up for re-election in a few years here. So, yeah, it's not unheard of. And the last time we had a tied U.S. Senate at 50-50 was in 2001. With George W. Bush 20 years ago, and then it went the other way that time, unfortunately. But one Republican from, I think it was New Hampshire, decided he was not thrilled with Bush, and so he switched over, went with the Democrats, and of course we won back the Senate in 2002. But it is not unheard of, and Manchin and Tester and Sinema, even from Arizona, are candidates to potentially switch. But even if they don't switch, if they just vote to maintain the filibuster rule, which Manchin and Tester both have said they would, we can block D.C. statehood, we can block the packing of the court, and we can block amnesty.
Well, and you know, we just have to keep fighting. We have to we can't get discouraged. Yes, it's disappointing. It's very disappointing. But you know, today's the day that we go back to work, because you know, look, in 2 years we have a chance to replace Warnock in Georgia. In 2 years, there are other U.S. Senate seats up for grabs. So we just got to get back to work and do what we can do to recruit good conservative candidates and work within, and that can be done. All right, let's shift here to the state of South Carolina, because you guys are going to be in session, starting a new legislative session. Quickly hit on some of the highlights that you see in the legislative session this year.
Well, I think one of the first things that will, that needs to happen and likely will happen is we'll finally advance the heartbeat bill. There's been debates about that for, you know, the last 2 or 3 years in South Carolina, whether we're going to join other states in protecting babies and those that have a heartbeat in the womb and making sure we defend the ethic of life. Tonight, I'll be attending the Proudly Pro-Life Dinner in Columbia. That's one of the first things I think you'll see out of the legislature out of the gate. And frankly, in spite of the Democrat majority in Washington, again, they don't have the votes to stack the court. And the courts have been largely favorable to upholding the heartbeat bill. And if we pass this, Joey, you're looking at an 80% reduction of existing abortions in South Carolina almost overnight. Governor McMaster has said he'd sign it. So I think pro-life advances will happen really quickly. We're certainly looking at what to do to protect businesses from the COVID liability. There's obviously a lot of worry about businesses that were shut down because of executive orders or because of the coronavirus conditions. First off, we're going to make sure the economy stays open. Secondly, we're going to look at some protections to protect businesses and business owners from liability from trial happy lawyers who want to go out there and go after folks over coronavirus litigation. So we're going to protect our businesses. And then you're going to see a pushback. I think this has certainly shifted after Georgia. There's going to be a serious effort to push back against federal overreach. I actually co-sponsored a bill along with the majority leader, Shane Massey from Edgefield, to reintroduce convention of states legislation in this state. So yeah. we can trigger a conversation about the national debt or the enormous borrowing and the huge red ink for miles to come. So we're really aggressively hitting the ground running, defending life, defending business, and defending the Constitution, the concept of federalism.
Yep, and I do hope, Senator, that you guys will take a very close look. Of course, we didn't have real problems in South Carolina, but as far as election law, we got to make sure that we don't continue to have mail-in ballots. To take a few minutes out of your day on election day and go vote in person. And we need to get back to the, I believe there was a time when you had to have a reason to do an absentee vote. Now I understand we've had COVID and all this year, but we just got to reevaluate our election laws as well.
I agree with you. And first off, if people can still go to Costco and Walmart and everywhere else, you can still go and, in my opinion,
Thank
still
you.
Go vote in person. We're gonna make sure of that, Joey. And the Democrats tried to change the laws here. We said no. We're still gonna say no, but heck, no, it's not gonna happen in South Carolina.
Yeah, yep. Senator Josh Kimbrell, I hope this is the first of many conversations that we have as we get into a new legislative session. Congratulations on your win, by the way. Happy New Year to you, and we'll talk again soon.
Thank you, sir. Keep up the good fight, and God bless you,
Senator Josh Kimbrell from Spartanburg.